Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay.
And me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything, that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these moments. Their stories are full of candor and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All I ever wanted was a little love. I want true romance, it's true.
Hello and welcome to True Romance. This is actually Devin Leary speaking.
Wow.
And I'm here with Carolina B.
This is she.
I just pulled some tarots to start my day. It's 4:15 p.m. And I am going to read the results because I'm sure everybody's wondering what the universe has in store for me on this rainy Sunday. Okay? So from my Jungian tarot deck, Carl Jung inspired, I pulled a card, Princess of Pentacles, which...
Prince of Pentacles, or do they make a feminine
princess,
version of this? Okay.
The Princess of Genovia. and the Princess of Pentacles. And in the Jungian book, it's described as the isolated daughter. It says, shown here is a very isolated and introspective young woman. Sounds familiar. Who is steady, ambitious, thorough, basically quite competent at her work. We're waning. But is a true, quote, loner. That's not true about me. But okay. Oh, it's not about me. He's just describing the card, or he or she. Okay.
He could be describing Cookie, too, because you don't have to be self-centered when you actually live with someone else. That's all I'm going to say.
Wait, what do you mean?
I mean, there's two people in the room.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, Cookie is, like, kind of sleeping.
Cookie's energy's in the room as well.
Cookie has, like, really good energy. For, I mean, you have noticed the growth from when he's kitten to now. Like, he actually chills during the podcast
you
sometimes
now. You have
noticed
the growth.
Like, the growth has happened.
I am not asking. You have noticed the growth.
But I will say, like, the cutest, most upsetting thing happened right before we recorded, where, like, I was, when I walk back and forth in the apartment, he gets really excited and he, like, runs with me. Like, he'll run ahead and, like, run after me. He ran directly into my shin and, like, knocked his head on my shin. And I was like, no. And then he was shaking his head, like, blinking. And I'm like, does he have a concussion? Like, he's so sweet. But
CET.
I know. He had CTE.
Paul Will Smith.
He's about to be.
No, CET. I have it too.
He's about to be, like, causing some murders around here. But that's okay. Okay. So, loner, she is self-controlled, tactful, and reserved, yet can be very selfish in attaining her own goals. In a position of responsibility, she may offend people by harsh demands. That is actually kind of true. And by showing little interest in the ideas or feelings of subordinates. That's not true. She knows that she is not well-liked. Ooh! But does not consider herself at fault. Ooh! The Princess of Pentacles tends to judge everything in polar terms, has little tolerance for ambiguity, and wants situations to be clearly defined. She finds the arts quite boring. Not true. I love art. I have the L word on my TV screen in the background. She finds the... Oh, okay. And with the possible exception of watching sports events, okay, has few outside interests. This bitch sounds...
you only like sports.
This bitch sounds like a red flag girl from The Bachelor.
I actually know what they're talking about, because when the game is on, I cannot get your attention.
Okay. Long hours buried in work allow her to avoid personal interaction with normal social life. She has few friends. Ooh. and is often depressed and lonely, but hides her vulnerabilities well. No, I do not. Most perceive her as unaffectionate and unfeeling. People have said
that's
that.
True.
The problem, however, is that she's afraid of closeness and somehow never learned the social skills of communicating personal feelings. Okay, this could be defining someone that I might have a date with this week. That's what I think.
Oh, okay, who is this person? Where'd you meet them?
On the apps. I feel like...
And what's their vibe?
Their vibe? Well, none of this really describes them besides long hours and buried in work.
And how's the conversation been?
None of this really describes them. Honestly, okay. This kind of just...
So you just wanted to, you know, let us know that you're going on a date.
No, it kind of describes me though, because I have little, it says little tolerance for ambiguity that wants situations to be clearly defined. Okay. That's something I'm all right. Back to me actually. So that's something I'm
No, this started with you and you drew reading a tarot card about yourself.
I'm struggling with ambiguity in dating. I hate the thing of like, oh, maybe we'll meet up. I'm not sure how I'll be feeling. I'm like, I actually can't do that. I need to like plan ahead. I'm going to take my shower, get ready, all this stuff. Like, I need to kind of know what the deal is. I love clear communication. So yeah, I'm struggling a little bit with some ambiguous plans. Not that interesting. Okay, on to the next one. That's a one thing for my day. I guess the message I'll take away is accept ambiguity. The other one I have is from my Thoth tarot deck, Five of Wands.
Let me see a close up because I...
It's Thoth, so it's like a weird design.
Oh, the Five of... Is that the one where all... never mind, continue. Your cards look different than mine.
Well, yeah, it's because it's like this weird thing. Anyway, okay. This card is the equivalent of revolutionary innovation, the result of the transition from the complete card above, who cares, disintegration of a system that has stabilized in the balance. In the Tree of Life, Five can be compared with movement that destroys the polity's shape. What the fuck is the polity? It is the energy that evolves, breaking limits. I'm totally feeling that right now. We feel the aggressive fire energy surrounding the outside. It destroys the silent result and pushes us into a confrontation. From the perspective of developmental psychology, this card represents a person's awareness of sexual orientation and consciousness of oneself. This is actually fucking crazy. Puberty stage requires... Oh, puberty stage? No, ew, I'm not in puberty. Requires a new orientation of the circumstances and conditions of the person with the surrounding. Okay. The old positions are shaken and must be handed over. The issue mentioned here will be the fight with the thoughts and opposing views to get a new attitude or action. Okay. We see ourselves being entangled in many conflicts with our partners, requiring a lot of effort to reconcile. From here, colliding heat can be strongly freed and or connect us with our partners more intensely. Either way, Five of Wands Thoth card contains the ability to renew the situation. This card often appears when someone is very unhappy with the situation at work. Okay, that's not me. This card may also represent the inner conflict where we are considering the decisions we have made that can test our conscience. Do we do everything for the best reason or do we act according to our highest ethical standards? Interesting.
I feel like that is a deep dive. I'm not going to ask any questions because I feel like anyone would be probing, but I'm happy for you.
Okay. Well, that one really aligned. The Princess of Isolation isn't me, but I...
Who thinks you doth protest too much?
I don't care.
You basically read a tarot card and you're like, hey, you guys, this isn't me, by the way.
Okay, Princess Loner Loser with no friends. Next card,
that's
please.
That's a mistake.
Yeah, Universe, can you come around and blow this card right off the table and blow a new one right in front of me? Because I do not relate. All right.
That is pretty much what I do when I read a tarot card that I don't like. I do Tanya McCord. Oh, so negative. So negative.
Yeah,
from
like
White
that's
Lotus,
not,
season two, episode one.
That's not us. Would you like me to read one for you?
Yeah, I would love to. Also, just the urgency with which Tanya needs to see a psychic. I've never related to anything on a TV show more than, again, White Lotus season two, episode one, when she absolutely needs to see a psychic to know what's going on with her husband. I do not in those moments need to get into my intuition. I do not rely on my head. I'm too full of fear. I rely on woo woo and universe. I'm like,
you have
I need
to.
It's a woo-woo emergency.
Okay, speaking of a woo-woo emergency, never mind. Actually, it's a totally boring story. Okay, I'm going to pull a card for you, and it's going to be about your day. Same intention.
Okay, please.
I did it wrong.
That's probably my day.
Okay. Weird. Knight of Swords upside down.
Uh-oh.
That's going to be an interesting one. Let's see.
Now, let's just say upside down is never where you want to be.
No, sometimes it's good. Let's go right down to the reverse. I know this is me reading tarot cards. I just Google the answer.
Oh, no. I love Googling the answer to tarot cards.
Okay. Got it. So, all right. Sometimes I'm like, a lot of the stuff they put in here is like, is it important? But I'll just read it in case it is. Okay. Odysseus is a symbol of intellectual power, acumen, and intelligence, representing the ability to create clarity, versatility, utterly contradictory ways, cunning, slyness, and sarcasm. When the card appears, it is time for us to use and develop this contradictory ability of mental strength. It helps us understand and achieve insight. However, if these powers are used improperly, it will lead to emotional coldness, heartlessness, apathy, and the bad consequences of rational abuse. Okay. During this period, we develop great analytical abilities, which help us learn to understand the problem, understand ourselves, and understand our surroundings better. Occupationally, this card represents intellectual acumen, intelligence, social ability, and entrepreneurship. It shows that we solve the tasks that set out with skill, flexibility, and cleverness. In dealing with colleagues and customers, this is reflected in eloquence, intelligence, and graceful wit. Okay. It can be a warning, however, about exaggeration, heartless wisdom, insidiousness, and unethical wisdom. Okay.
Listen, all I'm getting are words. I'm sorry. I'm not applying. How am I applying this to my day? Okay. What I'll say about the Knight of Swords is that he's impulsive and rash, and that I can be that way too.
Okay. In a personal relationship, we have a need to find an interesting partner that must be attracted to us in terms of appearance rather than the soul.
Yeah.
At the same time, we feel especially comfortable around bird of paradise, people with strong personalities who will feel wasted and eventually die in captivity.
Oh. Jeez.
Meaning like they don't want to settle down. The stage of life represented by this card will tend to become full of excitement, deep feelings, dedication, and harmony of souls. We'll have to step back. Probably because the deep fear of each of us about falling in love and losing ourselves.
This is true.
Here we find ourselves dependent or falling into a mess that cannot be solved. The clarity and perception now benefits, even if it is painful. But in this case, our feeling is becoming the goal of scrutiny. Sophistication will take the place of warm sincerity. Okay?
This is a lot of words that I don't know the meaning of. I'm going to be completely, and I understand the meaning of them, but clearly not together because there's a lot of, it feels like big moves being made.
Okay. There is a restless time when you are locating and trying to go somewhere else in your daily life or travel. It is time to listen to your mind rather than your heart. Some people are more comfortable with thoughts in their heads than expressing their feelings. In addition, it is a time when you need to be sensitive and assertive. In a career situation, there is much competition in the job. You may want to get rid of these restrictions and look for something to help you feel freer. The Knight shows restlessness in every aspect of life. In a relationship, he can represent love-hate relationships in which you constantly break up and come back together. You love each other deeply. However, you bring out the warrior in each other, which can be draining in the long run.
I do love a bird of paradise. I guess if that is the description of a man with a big personality who does not want to settle down, that those are usually the men I'm attracted to, unfortunately. But recently I've been really attracted to men who seem like they have a boring lifestyle. Interesting men who seem like they have a boring lifestyle. That is my new type.
Yeah, I get that.
I want to go to bed at 10:30 p.m. I want to have sex. I want to go to bed. I want to wake up and I want you to be a chef and make me breakfast in the morning.
I did.
And I want to go on our ways, on each of our own opposite ways, and then come back together at 6 p.m.
I did read a person's dating profile recently that said, looking for a boring life with an exciting person.
Yes, yes, precisely. I said in my dating profile, dating me is like a part-time job where I get a lot of time. You get a lot of time off so I can be alone.
Mm, that's good.
Like, I don't need people around all the time. In fact, I would love to be excited to see someone instead of just like, fuck, sharing a toilet with someone I have to see all the time.
Yeah.
I love reading tarot, though. It gives me a little bit of a high every single time. And I'm going to do more today just because this was so much fun. I want true
romance. Started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now? Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
I want to talk a little bit about a show that I have recently dipped my toe into, so to speak. And that is Below Deck Sailing Yacht. I was first told about this show by Devin Leary. She said in a highbrow, midbrow, lowbrow that this was a special show to her. Then it was one of those things that was just in the ether. I went to work and I was hearing very chic people at work, people who vacation in Greece, saying you have to, you know, watch Below Deck Sailing Yacht. This is the show to watch. And Vanderpump Rules was, you know, but going down a little bit. We were all kind of getting a little bit over the drama, which was, I'm very excited by this new season. I can't tell you how thrilled I am that they're finally filming again, that Sandoval is going to be filming with them, that, you know, Raquel Rachel is currently in negotiations. I'm thrilled. But I was very happy to start a new show. Now, I started season one and quickly jumped to season four because so a lot of season one is just learning about how a boat works, learning about what a chief stew is, learning about what a deckhand is. I still am not sure about anything except for captain. And then season four is when we really get into orgy status of the series, meaning that everyone is hooking up with everyone. And I think to jump out of the gate, I would love to talk about Period Gate, probably the most exciting thing, even if you do not watch Below Deck, I think this is an interesting thing that happens. And by interesting, I mean insane, mm-hmm. which is Gary, who is the bird of paradise. He is the cocky, super full of personality, could always be drunk. Like if you told me that he had been drunk this entire season, I would have absolutely believed you. Burnt face all the time. Great accent. Clearly hot. Clearly good in bed. There's no universe where Gary is not. He's probably like messy, but he's like
he's clearly like such a good kisser. Like he makes.
He's, yeah,
I've watched all four seasons, and so I've seen a collective.
You've seen him kiss like eight different women.
I've seen a collective like 17 hours of Gary making out in a hot tub, and like he is a good kisser. We will not deny that. That's the power he has. It's like I.
He will call you the wrong name in bed, but he is going to be a good time.
Totally. Yeah.
And like, he probably like reeks of BO and sweat, but like there's something hot about it anyway.
So disgusting. I hate that. When I think about the hygiene of these men on this boat, like.
Oh my God. When I think about this boat, Kevin, the fact that people are like, wow, this is gorgeous. Listen, I've never been on anything like this, but it looks disgusting.
It looks heinous. I could never.
Heinous. I could never.
I'm also like, what? Like, no. Whenever they land, I'm like, oh, that's where you are? Like, just go there. Why are you?
Just go there. It's beautiful. You're in Italy. Why aren't you just walking around Italy? Why are you sitting on this boat and like peeing in a porta potty toilet?
Totally.
Also, it's literally, except for Captain Glenn, everyone has long hair. All of the men have long hair. Now, this has famously been a deal breaker for me because I feel like I have big hair and I'm the hair person in the relationship. Whenever I see someone on apps who has big hair, I feel like we'll look like siblings. And so I have to, unfortunately, swipe left on them.
Okay.
Oh, my God. I matched with two really hot guys and I'm so upset that one of them, who was in a band I really like too, he was like literally the singer of a band I really liked that I've listened to many, many times, did not message me back even though I messaged him twice. I just needed to get break to say that my heart is hurting. I am hurting. He's 6'2". That would have been really important to me as well. Then a comic who I literally had a crush on and I match again. I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. It was at work. You know, when you want to like impart to people around you. I was like, you guys, look, I match with this guy. Cut to me reading his bio. He's in an open relationship and looking to get coffee with people. I mean, so it's been hard. So this is why Below Deck, you know, was helpful to me because I needed the orgy vibe. I needed to see a bunch of people making out in lieu of me making out right now.
Two things I have to say about that. One, I wish you would get out of the industry dating bubble and date normal people because I think you'd have a better experience.
I'm happy to. The Hinge app is the darkest thing I've ever seen in my whole fucking life. And I'm being serious when I say that. I am traumatized. All I want is for a guy to say liberal.
And men on Raya are better?
No, they're not. But at least, you know what it is that Hinge, being able to see someone's not political, being able to see that someone's moderate, being able to see someone who, at least I'll say this, at least on Raya, they know how to take better pictures. The Hinge photos are upsetting to me. They are a lot of guys who are under 6 feet tall. And I'm sorry to be, you know, a heightist, but I just happen to be 6 feet tall. And that's just the story of my life. And again, for the millionth time on this podcast, I want the man to be comfortable. And usually men are only comfortable if they're as tall or taller than me.
Okay, number two. Someone told me recently, which I thought was interesting, going on dates, because the people, I mean, the ENM, the ethically non-monogamous, poly, secure, open.
Oh, I'd go on a date with him if he asked me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, that is like everywhere and it does drive me crazy. And I was complaining about it to someone, but then they said, it's actually a good way to practice dating because there's no stakes. So if you want to go on like a first date just to get the nerves out of the way and there's like no stakes involved and you can practice like having fun and like remembering what it feels like to go on a date and all that stuff, someone in an open relationship is actually perfect for that.
That is a really good point, and I will actually be doing that. I didn't have any interest because he was someone that I could see myself really having a crush on, and it's also been a long time since I feel like I've known how to be on a date, and so maybe that's just even more reason that I need to go on one.
Yeah. I'm at the point now where I won't, like I'm like, I want my partner, as soon as I see, well, okay, if people put open but looking like for a primary, meaning like they believe in like non-monogamy, but they don't have a primary partner, my mind goes, okay, I'll convince them otherwise.
Exactly.
And I match them and I'm like, I'll tell this. I'll be so great that this person will be like, I don't even need to be open. Like, you're all I need.
I literally thought this guy will leave his part, his like poly partner yeah. for me and no, then be like, I'm actually believe in monogamy now.
And Carol, it happens every day. It really happens every day. So let me tell you that that is not a lost cause.
I'll think about it. But you know what? I'm also in the mood where I am tired. I have always been tired. I've been tired since I was 13 years old. So I am going to wait for someone to reach out to me. And that may not seem girl power. That may not seem women in STEM. That may not seem girl boss. But what I have pursued so many people. And since I'm not even sure how much energy I want to put into a relationship or I have to put into a relationship, my current relationship ideal is someone who pursues me first. And that is just what I'm looking for. I need someone to be obsessed with me. But yes, all of the men have long hair, long ratty hair. If they all had short hair, I can't even tell you how attractive these men would be. Like, it would be crazy. But because of my level of sexual frustration, I have been now decided that all men, except for Chase, who is like an 18-year-old, he's giving like 18-year-olds like conservative vibes yeah. for whatever reason. His personality is the rare thing where a handsome man has a personality that makes him unattractive. I am attracted to all of the men on board, including Captain Glenn, who I have thought sexually about. And
he's like 5'3".
He is 5'3". I don't even care. I'm like, just the fact that he's a captain is hot. And when he gets angry, I think that's hot too.
When he split up the fight, I loved that. When he was like, oh. The second someone gets aggro on board, you're getting thrown yeah. off the boat.
I was like, okay, you're amazing. So to go back to Period Gate, Gary, who again is like the puppy dog, you know, wily coyote, totally drunk, totally always has a hand on a woman. In some way is always touching a woman.
Yes.
Goes after this girl, Mads. Mads and Lucy, it took me about 6 episodes to be able to tell them apart. They're just these two.
I love them so much.
They're great. They are a wave of feminism. I don't know which one, but they are a wave. They are.
They're so fun. I love them.
They're basically a Love Island transplants of these like gorgeous hot blondes with huge tits who are super positive, work together really well, and super evolved sexually. Mads knows she's hooking up with Gary. She's not taking him seriously. She's kind of like, yeah, I could screw this whole crew if I wanted to. Again, like all of our feelings are positive. What happens is, and if you don't watch Below Deck, this is all you need to know. She's been hooking up with Gary. On one episode, one night, he goes down on her. Through a series of miscommunication, meaning that at one point, her other crush, Alex, is laying on her and he says, why are you so bloated? Normal thing for a man to say to a female. And she goes, shut up, I'm on my period. And he goes, oh. And she goes, just kidding. Either he doesn't hear the just kidding part or thinks she is on her period. Tells Colin that, another hot guy. Colin
is the hottest to me.
Me too. Colin then tells Gary. Gary acts like someone just told him about a terrorist attack. Like, he is up in action, then goes up to Mads, confronts her in front of her fellow Love Island, you know, potential castmate,
Lucy.
And he goes, are you on your period? And she goes, what? And he goes, I just thought you'd have the decency to tell me before I went down on you last night. Lucy looks horrified.
She throws herself.
She's literally like, oh. And Mads goes, no, I'm not. And it is. And he goes, oh, OK, well, and storms off. And then he's upset because, quote unquote, he looks like an idiot in front of her. He's upset that Alex told him. She goes, I think you would be able to tell. It's so crazy. And then in his talking head, he's like, I just thought she would tell me before we got freaky. OK. That means that he thinks going down on a woman is like a freaky thing to do, which is a deal breaker if I've ever heard one.
Okay.
I remember the first time my high school boyfriend went down on me and it was like, you could see that he was acting like he was doing the most craziest, like most like selfless thing. And it wasn't even good. So I was like, no, you're not. And now I have to pretend that I like this yeah. because like you clearly think you're doing me the world's biggest fucking favor.
So two displays of excellent adult boundaries in this situation was afterwards Mads and Lucy's response instead of starting it like a drama thing, like being like, all right, let's march back across the boat, let's confront him, whatever. They're just like, oh my God, he's so dumb. Like, this is exactly why I'm so sick of him and sick of this boat, whatever. Like, he sucks. And move on with their day. And then Gary goes to Alex to like talk shit. And he's like, I can't believe you told me that, blah, 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 this. And then I went and like made an idiot of myself. And Alex is like, oh, that's on you. Like, if you went and talked to her about it, that was your decision. That's not my decision.
He was like, I didn't say anything to like upset you.
Yeah, you just got upset because you're weird. Okay. Another thing, this is the number one selling point of Below Deck Sailing Yacht. How could you not choose to watch a television show where a season-long story arc is that two people want to hook up with each other, Mads and Alex, but one can't make a move, Alex, because he gets so fucking wasted every single night that he falls asleep? Like, he falls asleep in the hot tub. It's like, from night one, she's like, Alex is hot. And he's like, Mads is hot. But then, like, he passes out in the hot tub. He passes out.
And she says, I literally just need to take care of myself, which I could not identify with more as someone who's like, I'm getting laid tonight. Like, it's just a question. Yeah, she's like, all right,
well, I guess I'll have sex with Gary then. But I just, like, wish Alex would make a move. And then one of my favorite moments is the fact that Alex, this every season of Sailing Yacht, someone has to share a cabin with Glenn. And it's like so upsetting to even think that Glenn has to be subject to these fucking like crazy people. So Alex is sharing with Glenn, and at one point he's really drunk and he takes a sip of his water bottle and he thinks he's putting it on the side table and he puts it on Glenn's head. And then he goes, whoa, Glenn's like, whoa, what was that? And Alex doesn't say anything, just like sways back.
He acts like he's offering it to him. And Glenn is like, what is this?
Glenn, I'm obsessed.
I want true romance.
Started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now? Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it. and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So yes, as Carolina, well, I don't know if you said this, but it is like,
it's a frustrating show because you're watching so many errands done. And it's as if in Vanderpump, we were watching The Kitchen.
I don't give a fuck about provisions. Move past. They're picking up cereal boxes they can't even eat. Okay.
I don't care about laundry. I don't care that you have to. I don't care that you have to get their rooms ready and they're fucking disgusting. I actually wish you would show me less about the guest rooms.
I like the disgusting. I like seeing how disgusting they are.
It actually made me almost physically sick, like the one episode where the gay throuple was a highlight for me in terms of hijinks.
Oh my God.
There was a gay throuple on board and the mom of one of their friends is going, "You deserve better," to a husband. And the husband's going, "And if he divorces me, he'll take me for everything I've got." I was like, what is going on?
I know.
I loved that. But how dirty they kept their cabins made me almost throw up.
No, that was upsetting.
But you have to watch through it so they can get their, you know, 1-2 nights on the boat where they can get wasted and hook up with each other. And the beautiful, you know, the real love story, the real love triangle to me through all of this. And the real feminist hero was Daisy.
Yep.
I think I'll name my daughter after her. Who had sex with Gary, and she's clearly, I was like, I'm so jealous of Daisy. She is basically, it's public record that Daisy must be amazing in bed because Gary is like, having sex with you was amazing. And she's like, you are such a fucking moron. And it's all great. So basically, Gary has had sex with her, is completely upset because now her and Colin have like a good thing going. It's very...
Her and Colin are so
smooth
cute.
Smooth and steady, to use a ship term, I believe. To use a sailing term. They are so cute. It's very real. You can tell there's like real tenderness. He's kind of soft-spoken. She finally has to tell him that her and Gary had sex and he has to leave the room. And he's like, I'm just so confused. But Gary this whole time is like motorboating her in front of Colin, just grabbing her nonstop, and in front of Mads as well. And she basically tells him, I wanted you. I invited you to stay with me in London. You said no.
Yep.
You only want me now because you cannot have me.
Yep.
And I think objectively, it takes a very strong person to do that. If you have been rejected by someone and they suddenly want you back and are so public about it, it takes so much evolved non-primal brain to be like, no, like, I'm not letting you do this. I'm not letting you mess up this relationship. Because I know for me personally, what I would want is to fix the equation and be like, yeah, like, of course you want me back. Okay, I'm going to like now have sex with you so that like in my brain the power dynamic is restored. But she's smart and she knows that that's just going, that she was like, I have something really healthy with Colin, is what she says. And Colin is just really, really, really attractive. And his tattoos are absolutely ridiculously hot.
I know. But then I hated the dose of reality at the end when she's like, well, he's going back to live on his sailboat that he rebuilt. And I'm going back on other charter. Like, I'm like, wait, these people's lives are crazy. Like, just be normal and go on a date. But that's not the way it's going to be. But I loved what Lucy said in the finale, because every other season there has been like the stewards, which is usually the females on the boat, like getting drama with each other, like fight with each other. Season 3 has some crazy drama like that. But this season, I love that Lucy said none of the girls had any drama the whole season. The chef, Alicia, also was like so fun and cool. No drama.
Loved her.
And her biggest flaw was that she likes Chase. Other than that, she's perfect.
That was the only red flag for Alicia. And actually, I also want to say something with the male gaze, which is that Alicia's ass is out of control. I saw her in a bathing suit and I immediately was like, I don't know what I can do to imitate this.
No, nothing can be done. Nothing can be done.
I mean, shots, ass shots. You know, I'm not opposed to that. The amount of plastic surgery videos I've sent to Devin saying, is it okay if I get this? And Devin has responded with no, have been upwards of 3.
No, yeah, I think they're all gorgeous, gorgeous girls. And I think they're all trash men, except for Alex and Colin. I also think it's interesting. There's been many seasons, like people do, the men do not like working for Gary, but Glenn keeps him on, I guess for his, like the fact that he's a character on the show, but every season, like he has drama with his subordinates and people think he's an asshole. So I wonder what will happen next season. Also, there is a reunion. There like almost wasn't one, but then it became so popular this season that they're going to do one. And I'm really, really scared, but also excited to see if Colin and Daisy ended up together.
I'm scared too. I don't like my dreams to be
shattered.
Yeah. By that bitch, capital R reality.
I mean, I love that bitch. And by that bitch, capital R reality, I mean the reality that Bravo presents to me.
That's true.
And that's why, therefore, henceforth, I cannot wait for tonight, which is the premiere of Roni 2.0, Real Housewives of New York, New Generation. And also tomorrow night, Below Deck reunion. Real Housewives of OC is honestly giving this season. It's good drama. Tamara's back. Tamara and Shannon, love to see it. And then
we have some behind the scenes updates. For instance, there was a video of the cast of Potomac getting into a physical brawl somewhere. Couldn't be more excited. Could not be more excited. And we also have a Dumois tip that Sandoval and Lisa were screaming at each other at Sir, had to be physically torn apart by security. Filming had to go down, which is, we all know the best things that happen in these reality shows are not being filmed. Like, for all that we are given, there's more that has been taken away from us.
I know, but I kind of like when they're like, this new thing with Kyle and Mauricio's separation, in which is like happening in the vein of Scandoval, where they're like, actually, yes, we're going to continue filming.
Cameras will be turned back on.
I love that. That's a really good.
What do we think about that? I mean, obviously that's real. Do we think he was,
I'm so
cheating?
Confused. I have no idea. Like, so I saw a clip with, or an interview with Erica Jane today, and she was saying, by the way, she could not be happier to be out of the drama spotlight.
I was going to say she could not be more on Ozempic.
She also couldn't be more on Ozempic, but she was saying they are not split. They've been having problems that we will see unfold during the season. It's been really hard for them. And she wants Kyle to be able to speak for her own story. I also think it's interesting. Kyle just celebrated a year of not drinking.
Interesting.
Things are changing for her. She's having a metamorphosis. She's also probably on Ozempic. I don't know. There's a lot going on. But one of my favorite details has been that, like, Kyle didn't post any pictures of Mauricio for Father's Day or something, but he comments on all her Instagrams and says, like, you look amazing, babe, so hot, you look perfect. And she hasn't even liked any of the comments that he left, which I'm like, uh-oh.
Sorry, but we know everything we need to know about Mauricio in that he follows Trump, Ivanka, Mike Pence, all of those motherfuckers on Instagram. We know that he's a Trumper.
And when your wife...
And we know that she isn't.
When your wife is gay, it's hard to be a Trumper.
So Tracy Morrissey, who's a really great
historian, journalist,
social media and cultural historian, and I would say investigator. She is the one who found out that Dane Cook had been having game nights for 14-year-olds. She is the one who compiled all of Jamil's Munchausen's claims, or not claims, but, you know, illness claims that kind of add up to be Munchausen's. And she also pulled together, you know, the fact that Kyle has, there's gay vibes.
Yeah, so go to her profile for more info.
But it is a joy. It is a joy, that is for sure. Someone was excited about Beverly Hills, and I explained to them that there was this theory that Kyle had a girlfriend, and they were flabbergasted. And I was like, this is when society fails us. This is when the government fails us. We need to make sure this information is more readily available. This is why the COVID vaccine, you know, it took a while for it to get everyone vaccinated. It took a while for everyone to know how COVID spread. Like, information needs to go out there.
Information is currency and needs to go out there.
Needs to go out there. That is so true. Who do you hook up with? Okay, I say this. Who do you hook up with on your yacht?
Oh, like out of anyone in the world?
No, out of the crew. Oh, out of the crew on the parasol.
Okay.
I unfortunately think I accidentally hook up with Gary one night. Like, if I'm looking at my own track record, I would totally go for Colin, but I would get frustrated by how slow he would be, probably, or he wouldn't be forward enough for me. And so I would just like hook up with Gary because he would probably touch me once and I would be like, OK, I guess we're dating.
I agree with for myself. I can totally see myself ending up in the hot tub with Gary. Also, it should be stated for the record that I did follow the whole cast on Instagram and Gary did, when I followed him, like two of my posts.
Shut the fuck up.
He did. And that was the end of that story. But
no, that is the beginning of your life, Devin.
But I think I would have a threesome with Chase and Alicia. And I would just repeatedly.
I don't know if Alicia's that cool.
I would
I love her. Don't get me wrong. I think she's that like for me, female wise, she was her and Lucy are probably like the two hottest girls to me.
I know Lucy like was so not trying to hook up the whole time.
She was like a Sports Illustrated model.
I know, but why was she so not trying to hook up? Like, she didn't give a fuck.
I don't know. She was just not giving those vibes.
She was giving the vibe. She was giving best friend. I'm going to show my ass on the street and for fun, but I don't give a fuck about anything else. And like,
I love when Chase is like, can we take a shot between your boobs? And she goes, fuck off. All of the girls were really.
I know.
Eighth wave,
man. It's really a show about feminism. Below Deck Sailing Yacht? More like Below Deck
Gloria Steinem.
Sailing Feminism. By the way, have you been watching And Just Like That this season?
I can't. I have not been in a place where I need bad TV that badly yet. So I have not gone there yet.
Oh, it's so fucking good.
Do I need to watch?
I love it. I know that like it's like for. It's only for people who can take it for what it is. And I take it for what it is and I love it.
Take me for what I am. Yeah.
That sounded good.
Thank you.
I was being sarcastic.
I need to get back into music. No, you weren't. You like me. I'm good at singing.
Okay. And on that note, love you, Carol.
Love you, Devin.
Love me, baby, don't leave me hanging. I want true romance.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything, that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these moments. Their stories are full of candor and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.